Welcome to Channel Waves, the podcast where channel leaders share success strategies, best practices, and emerging trends. Brought to you by Structured Web. Here's your host, Stephen Kellum.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Channel Waves. I'm your host, Stephen Kellum. I'm very excited to have Rachel Tuller, longtime channel chief, joining me today. And we're going to talk about what would you do if you walked in the door and could start all over. So Rachel and I have been talking about that. And first of all, welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, Stephen. Happy to be here.
Here's one of the reasons I want to talk about it. It's the end of the first quarter, and a lot of people are seeing a lot of changes taking place. They had these plans for what 2024 is going to look like. A lot of people got a lot of surprises towards the end of the year and in Q1. Either they lost resources, or something changed in their hierarchy, or something changed in their budget. So one of the things we thought we'd talk about is, okay, maybe it's time to do a reset. So you're walking in the door, where do you start?
I think a lot of folks are reevaluating their programs, right? They came in with maybe a 1 or 2 or 3 year plan, and a little while into it, it's like, ooh, hey, maybe this isn't the right plan. You know, the whole AI, Gen AI, that stuff's, you know, they're getting pressure from above, pressure from their boards to do things differently, to leverage AI in their channels. And I think people are trying to figure that out. So whether or not that's the catalyst or whether that's just on the list of things that have changed this year, you know, people are reevaluating. So I think, gosh, if I were to start with a blank piece of paper, I think the first thing I would do is, you know, everybody says go talk to the partners. And that is, I think, something that's very valid, right? Understanding what the partners want from you as a vendor. And, you know, maybe, you know, I'm a big fan of stop, start, continue. Probably do that exercise with both partners and internals, right? So my operations folks, my CRO, my sales leader, you know, what do you think's working well? What's not? But if we could start from scratch, I think, you know, one of the first things I would do is just have a look at the overall simplification of whatever it is I'm doing. I think keeping it simple is probably one of the driving guiding principles that I've used in the past and that has served me well.
Well, as a partner, two comments on that. One is I did want vendors coming to me and asking me what I thought, but what I really wanted was a vendor coming to me and telling me, having already listened, what they were already doing. And usually at the top of my list was simplification. Like, I don't need to hire a headcount just to manage your incentive programs. This is kind of crazy. Okay, I come from the incentive world, so that was where I always went on it. But yeah, I think simplifying everything.
Yeah, it's about, you know, making it easy, understanding how partners make money. So if that's what you're talking to partners about, then absolutely, that should be the first thing that you do. Understand their business, right? Their business models are changing. What used to be a traditional reseller is now both a reseller and an MSP. And if they're an MSP, they might also be an ISV. So these lines are getting really blurred. So if you haven't sat down with your partners, I would make sure that you do that one-on-one and really understand what's evolving in their business. Because how you're going to help them make money is really why you have a program. That's the element of it, right? They need to make money selling your product. So what does that look like for them? And so then you come back to, okay, what are our customers asking for, right? Because I think that's one thing that we in the partner world tend to forget is the customer experience and what the customer needs out of the joint partnership between me and my partners. That would be step one. That's something that I have tended to do midway towards the end and say, oh, these are all the successful partners. This must be my ideal partner profile, instead of really building towards that or building for that at the very beginning. So that's something I'd probably, you know, reverse engineer from how I've done it traditionally.
So you're starting on the external side, and we're going to get into the internal side and what covers there. But I think there's so many moving parts on that external side, right? There is the customer, I agree. There's the partner we talked about. Then there is the people that you co-sell with as well, too. It's gotten pretty complicated, and you sort of need to know all of them to be knowledgeable before you start to manage it internally. At least that'd be my first idea.
No, I think that's true. And, you know, the internal piece is not to be underestimated. I think we all want to be externally focused, right? Do what's right for the partner. We also have to remember who we work for, who signs our paychecks. And so what do the economics in the partner economy look like that support our business, right? That make us successful? Is it front-end discounting? Is it back-end rebating? Is it different kinds of incentives that don't actually cost money? Yes, it's all of those things. And so what's the magic mix for you and your vendorship? The other thing I would do differently is I would include all of my finance, ops, and internal sales leaders from the beginning, not go to them and say, here's our new program, how can you help me? I would say, hey, would you like to help me create our new program? And, you know, make sure that they're part of that.
Why do you think that seems like a logical way to do things? Is this territorial? Is it because of the way the data flows? Is it because of different MBOs? What is it that's kind of that has kept us from getting there? Because it seems very, very logical, at least from
you
my
think
perspective.
That it would be. And there are some people that do that and do it really well. So I'm not saying, you know, all vendors are like that, but there tends to be, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a partner community inside my company, I often feel like an island. I often feel like my partner business is isolated from the rest of the world because I've got partner ops and partner marketing and partner strategy, which is all separate from, or at least adjacent to, the overall go-to-market strategy, go-to-market finance. And while it may be adjacent or attached, it's not central. And so my objective would be to be more central in the conversations with my leadership of those groups, not just the folks who are actually turning the dials and pushing the buttons. Sit down with your CFO, sit down with your VP of finance, sit down with your VP of operations and say, how are you going to help support my partners in this new program? And let's see if we're all rowing in the same direction, first of all.
So how do you get the sales and marketing people on the same page?
Well, I think you understand what is important to them, right? Anytime you want to get somebody on your same page, it's like, what works for you? What are your goals and objectives? And then once you have that level of understanding, it's easy to then talk to them about, oh, well, if you helped me with these joint marketing campaigns, that would help joint drive pipe, which you get credit for. And that's what you get paid on. So being able to tie your activities back to how they're measured, I think is really key.
I'm curious what you think. A lot of times I see this around systems or a lack of data. And if you don't have transparency, it's really easy to talk about attribution and accountability. But if you can't, if you don't have the data to prove it, I've seen really good friends on something fall apart because they can't make their case or they don't have the data. And everything just breaks when that falls apart.
You can use data to build your case or define what your case is, or you can use data to support it after the fact. I think a lot of us in the channel tend to lead with experience and intuition and then go try and find the data to back it up. My thinking recently has been around, let's leverage the data to glean insights from to help us shape our program, shape our approach, shape what we want to do, right? Tells us where products are sold, who's selling them. Let's leverage that at the beginning, glean those insights, and then we can build a program based on that versus sticking with what we've always known and then trying to shoehorn the data to fit our story.
Yeah, I live in the automation world, right? And we're a platform. That's what we do. But even I know, and I've seen that the best, most success we've had is when there was an emphasis on build the program, build the process, and then put the automation behind it. And I'm actually completely fine being the third piece coming on board on that. Because as an automation platform, we want to be there for 10 years, right? And this cycling of not having the programs in place and not having the processes in place before they get there and not having that data in place is probably what causes us more headaches than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, automation is so key because as we look to simplify, streamline, all of those things, right? We're all dealing and having to do more with less, right? Less bodies, less people, less partners, some take cases because we're getting more refined in our approach. You know, we've got to have that automation to be able to scale. And so I think including that in the overall design at the beginning versus it being a bolt on later that says, oh, here's our process and maybe we should automate it. You know, let's start with the automation for a change. Let's look at, you know, what are the tools out there that maybe I haven't looked at in two or three, and I'm saying even last year, even if you were looking for, say, a PRM last year, you know, what you think you know, you might not know is something that I've been telling myself, right? Like, just go get educated because there's so much out there that you don't even, like, they build the process for you, right? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already there.
Okay, we made it 15 minutes into the podcast. We haven't said AI yet, but once. You did say ecosystems. So let's talk about ecosystems for a second. How is that infecting you today? By the way, this is a plug for Larry Walsh. He actually did a really nice little podcast recently defining what an ecosystem is. I'm telling you, the whole ecosystem thing, I was talking about ecosystems inside of a little incentives world 10 years ago. So for me, I have a place to go and a reference, but I see people rolling their eyes when they talk about ecosystems because it's so strangely defined, but it's incredibly important in all of its layers, right?
Yeah. An ecosystem, I mean, anytime you think of a system or a, you know, solar system or so, it's like all these moving parts that eventually bump into each other and roll into each other. To me, that's an ecosystem right now. And it's like I shared earlier about the different partner types even, right? What we used to have defined very clear definition of partner types are not so much anymore. They're ecosystem players. They're an SI who does services, who is an MSP, who builds their own technology, and yet they also have a services and consulting practice. So I think those types of, and then cobble all of those together in a co-sell environment to deliver solutions to the customer, and that's your ecosystem. That's how I define it. Multiple partners working together to serve the customer in a nutshell. And I can't remember if that's what Larry said or not.
I think it's pretty close. And it's funny how they all go back to the buyer in the end. So how are they buying there? And how is that service going to be delivered? It's from an ecosystem, from an ecosystem of partners that have an ecosystem of vendors that are coming together. It's fascinating for me because I live in the content world. So in that content world, as it gets more complicated, it's actually interesting for us now because of AI. Maybe we can jump into AI for a second, right? Because you think about that, you got a buyer at the end, you got four people selling to them, and you got four vendors selling to them. It gets pretty complicated to get that message across, right? So what are you seeing in the AI world?
So I think what's super exciting there is there's an interest and a desire to do more of this better together messaging. In crafting that messaging, we're telling the whole story now. We're not just telling our little piece of it, cobbling it on beside somebody else's, right? Like the experience can be more melded, as can the message. And I think that's probably where the art of AI comes in. And it's super, super powerful because, you know, we used to have to, you typically would come together at, say, Disti. Right? Disney works with a hardware vendor, they work with the software, they were the platform vendor, they work with a cloud provider, right? They would typically pull all that stuff together and it's a very manual process. Well, now any one of us can do it with your product and others, right? Just to point it to different sources of content and say, hey, I would like a message that looks like this. And there's my prompt, and there's my email, and there's my banner, and there's everything else that goes with it. I mean, it just makes it so much easier for the rest of us. And it removes some of those layers of administration and of support that we need. And I think in the end, we're honing better messages that resonate with the customers around their use cases, their industries, their needs, versus what our needs are and what we're trying to sell them.
Well, by the way, I think it's pretty good for Disties too. Think
Yeah,
about what a Disty has
it
to do to try to
is.
pull all those
Yeah.
vendors together and all that messages for a lot of these long tail partners. That's been pretty complicated. They probably have aggregated more content that's just sitting out there that hasn't been able to be pulled together than probably anywhere, right? If you look at the big three Disties for sure.
That's true. That's for sure. I know they're taking advantage of it.
So on the AI side, kind of last point on the AI. Once again, you're walking in the door. You're looking at talking to the partner, you're looking at selling internally, you're looking at leveraging data. Maybe we can finish up with the AI side. So where do you go? What do you look at? Everybody's talking about, okay, I have an AI agenda or I need an AI agenda. Where do you go in the channel for that?
I think one of the things that we're looking at building out as an industry would be, you know, there's specializations, right? There's security specializations, there's platform specializations, there's cloud specializations. Is AI going to be a specialization? I don't think unto itself. It's too broad of a category, right? So I think we're going to have to get even a couple levels down around specializations around that. I'm not a huge fan. I do believe in specializations. I've had them in my last three programs. I think the customers like to see that specialization from a partner that, hey, they've got the qualifications and credentials to go do this. But how valid is it in the AI world? I think what we're really looking for is we need some partners with experience that have done this and then can tell us what they've done to help solve problems for customers. And so that's more storytelling, that's more use cases. That's more, here's what I've done for them and I can do for you. And I know in the marketing world, you know, we love use cases. We get them out there all the time because that's what rings a bell with customers. Trying to find partners that can tell that story really well has been a challenge. We need partners to go tell those stories.
And that's been hard. It's been really hard for partners. I believe that AI is going to change what partners are able to do very quickly. And it's really interesting on that storytelling piece, right? There's a lot of big picture around AI. And this is what's interesting. You walk in, you want a program. Where do I use AI? What's it effective? I think the low-hanging fruit is actually in the storytelling. I think that's going to be one of the easiest places for people to really get value out of.
Yeah, a shameless plug. That's where you guys definitely win.
I didn't mean to be in a shameless plug.
Well, not for you. I can say it. You can't say it, but I can say it.
You can say it because it's been look, what's the number one truism of 95% of the partners? They're bad at what?
Marketing.
There we go. So
we know this.
I think anybody, yes. And it's just absolutely bad. And even if they're good at it, they don't have the time.
They don't have the resources.
I think pulling all these things together in the end, if you want to shorten the time to revenue, you make them better storytellers. I totally believe on that.
And just one more thing on AI internally, like using it to run your business, I think is something that we as channel chiefs need to take a look at, right? Our CROs are asking us for all kinds of really great data. They're asking us for insights. They're asking us to be smarter, right? Glean these kind of stories ourselves from our business. And I think that we as channel chiefs need to figure out how to put AI into our channel programs for the benefit of the partners and our own organizations. A couple different ways to do that, but I think that that's something that we need to start thinking about.
That's a really interesting comment. 4 years ago, I used to run around, I was working for a very large incentive company. And I used to say, hey, if you don't have a data scientist, to figure out how do you make decision grades if you don't have a data scientist, right? Because you got to pull up data. That's great. I've got all this data. What does it mean? And that was like the ring the bell, data scientist, got to have a data scientist. I think now what's really interesting, what you were talking about, is it the data scientist taking that AI? Is it a combination of the two? I really like what you're talking about there and figuring out where in your systems and your processes you can get more out of that data. I mean, it's just machine learning or whatever. It's just quickly getting to the answer, right? The right answer.
We were having that conversation the other day when we were talking about co-sell. So co-selling's been around forever, right? The whole meet in the market concept, being able to, you know, multiple vendors selling into a customer, who's the tip of the spear. But we've taken it to the next level lately with joint incentives, joint marketing, right? It's the whole stack now, right? It's from joint messaging and selling all the way down to joint services delivery. We have all of that data inside our CRMs and inside of our PRMs as to who's bought from who in previous years. We're just now learning how to get at all of that. And I think that's where the data science, that's where the AI comes in, because we can ask some prompts of the data that we have. You know, who are the top partners that have sold into manufacturing using, you know, X product? Let's pull that data out of our PRM and build a campaign for them.
Yeah. And why? And how long? And what's the ROI? All of this data that you can start to pull in, like not only were they successful, but how were they successful? What were their steps involved in it? You can see, sort of see the whole path, right? I think it's going to be pretty fascinating. Sorry, wrapping this thing up, Rachel. Okay, here's the things that I heard. You start with the buyer, right? And then you move through the partners, then you move to the vendors, then you move to all the data, and then you pull the AI in there. And those are sort of the steps in the process. Did I hear that correctly? You want to make any changes on that? If there were five things that you could advise as you move through that process, oh, I forgot selling internally and getting everybody.
Internally and automation. I think that would add.
I think that would add. Sorry. So please go right ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah. I think if I were to expand on that, like circle back to what we talked about by checking out your vendors first, your third-party vendors with all the tools that are out there in the marketplace, right? See what's out there. See what's happening. See what you can plug and play, right? Let's not invent the wheel. And by the way, when it comes to partner portals and platforms and everything else, you all know that only 10 to 20% of your partners are using them. So let's not overbuild them, right? Let's make it MVP. Let's make it V1. Let's make it automated. And I think that keeping it simple, you know, as your core tenet is really the place to start.
I've talked to three vendors at a VP level of not just channels, but of channel marketing, channel sales, even into the sales operation, even getting it a little bit into the direct side a little bit over the past couple of weeks. And all three of them said they wanted their partner experience to be like a one click. And I keep hearing this over and over again. How do we make this experience? And I know we talk about shortened time to revenue. We've got all these things to talk about. But this is what I'm hearing is, how do I tie those dollars in their incentives or whatever and make it, you said simplify. I think that was.
Yeah, I've been telling my teams for years, if a partner can't figure out on one slide how they make money for you, then it's way too complicated, right? So if that's one click, one slide, one page, one something, make it super simple. Now, to do that super complex on the back end, because you might have a couple different, three different, four different platforms or services that you're using to simplify it for the partner. So let's not be crazy and say that it's easy to do, but it is does need to be simple.
Okay, that's a whole separate podcast. We could actually do a podcast. We could talk about that, because I keep hearing about, okay, we've got these MDF dollars, we've got these incentives, we've got a marketplace. How do we get them there? Look, with APIs and AI today, and the technologies out there, if the programs and the processes are right and you got that automation, I think you can accomplish that. But I think it's a lot of work, I agree with you, to make something really simple. But I do think that's the North Star.
That is.
Okay. Rachel, once again, thank you for joining us. Listeners, thank you for listening in. If you have any questions for Rachel, the best way to find her is LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn or rteller@gmail.com for my personal email.
Okay. Thanks, Rachel. You have a great day. Thanks, listeners. Have a great day.
Thanks, Stephen.